We are at the bottom of Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Let's see. Sagbi Gimara. Yeah, we said V'nesnin Aleh Isplanis. We said in the Mishnah, let's just remind ourselves, we said in the Mishnah, Eisen kol tzachim mila b'shabas mal in pirid meitzet in nesin ala is planes v'kamein. We mentioned these five things which you do for mila. And then we said in l'shachuk me'af shabas, but if you did not crush this kamein, which possibly is kumin, on Erev Shabbos, so then leis b'shinov, one is supposed to grind it up, chew it in one's, with one's teeth, do something with a shinoi, the noisin, and then you place this powdered cumin, this kamen, on the makam hamila, and in leitarav yain the shaman, and if you didn't mix, beat, whip the wine and the oil together in Erev Shabbos, you place the wine by itself and the oil by itself and so on. And then we mentioned that you make some type of a pouch. They would put a pouch on the milat in order to make sure that the skin would not go back over and cover the atara. Says the Gemara v'nesnin ala isplanis. So we spoke about this bandage. Amra baya amra li aim. Isplanisa de kulu keve. Shev minoi tarva v'chada kira. So said Abaya b'shem his mother, his stepmother, that a bandage which helps for all different types of cave is shev minoi tarva v'chada kira, meaning it's got seven portions of fat and it's got one portion of wax. That's what Rashi says. Shev minoi tarva zayin money shel chelev. The Chodah de Kira and one portion of wax. Rava Ama Kira Vikalba. Rava says it's got wax and kalba, which Rashi says is some type of a zephyr of eight, some type of a sap from a tree. So if they would put these things inside the bandage, that was considered to be particularly therapeutic. Good. It says the Gemara, Darsh Rava B'Machayza. So Rava publicized this teaching about the benefits of having this type of a bandage, which has the fat and the wax and so on inside. And Bnei Min Yomi, the doctor, he tore his garments, meaning he was upset that, that this medical knowledge was revealed to the townsfolk, because this way people are not going to come to him, and he's going to lose out on his parnassah. Amar lehu, Rava said to them, to the Bnei Min Yomi, Shavki lechu chada, I don't want to have left for you still a remedy which I haven't publicized. Amar Shmuel, Hayman, Demashi, Apei, Vale Nagib Tuva. So if a person has washed their face, but they haven't dried it properly, so Nikturle Chaspenisa. As she says, Chaspenisa is part of Mizbakois, his face kind of cracks. My takante, what is the remedy? What's the eitzah? Limshi tuva b'maya de silka. You should wash your face in mayim, which you've cooked beets inside the mayim. Good. Fine. So we said that one of the things which they would do is they would take this kamun, which we said maybe is cumin, and they would crush it up. And they would put it on the makam amila. And we said in the Mishnah that loy shachak mi'arav Shabbos, they didn't crush it before Shabbos. So then you would grind it with your teeth. You would do some type of a shinoi. Tana rabbanim. Dvarim shinoisim l'mila b'Shabbos. These things which you're not allowed to do for a mila on Shabbos, isim la b'yamtiv. So, we're that much more makel when it comes to Yom Tov. There's many more malachas which are permitted to do on Yom Tov. Malachas which have to do with Eichel Nefesh. So, things which we disallow on Shabbos, we will allow on Yom Tov. So, Sheikhin la Kamein, V'tofen la Yain, V'shemen. So, the two things which you said you're not allowed to do on a Shabbos, namely grinding up the Kamein to make this Kamein powder, you are allowed to do that on the Yom Tov. The Tarfin La Yain V'Shemen. And so too you can vigorously mix oil and wine together to place it on the Makam Amilas. You cannot do that on a Shabbos, but you are allowed to do that on Yom Tov. So, Amalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef, Ma'ishna Kaman Bi Yom Tov, Dechazi L'Kdeira, why are we that much more makel? And we allow you, for instance, to crush the Kaman on Yom Tov, because in theory you could, this is a type of malacha which you're allowed to do for the sake of cooking. So to the extent that you could do this for cooking, so then you can do this also when you need to do this for a milah. Well, if so, yain v'shemen chazinami v'shabbos l'chayla. So, coming back to Shabbos for a minute, so by the same logic, we should say that you should also be able to put the yain and the shemen, and you should be able to mix it up together for the sake of administering it to the wound post-milah, because at times you can use yain v'shemen for a chayla she'ein v'sakana. We know that if a person is a chayla she'ein v'sakana, at that stage, being that the chayla is somewhat significant, it's not just a mechush ba'alma, but the person is bedridden, the person is incapacitated, so at that stage, you're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. So, to the extent that you're able to use yain and shemen on Shabbos for chayla she'ein v'sakana, so too you should be able to use it for the baby post-milah. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Yain v'shemen chazi nami b'shabbos l'chayla d'tanya. Ein tarvin yain v'shemen l'chayla b'shabbos. Am Rav Shimon l'lazim v'shem Rabbi Meir. Av tarvin yain v'shemen. Rabbi Meir says you are allowed to. Am Rav Shimon l'lazim b'amachas chash Rabbi Meir b'meyav. He himself had pain in his stomach. Ubi kashno litrif levi yain v'shemen. And we sought to make for him this particular remedy of the yain and shemen mixture, v'lei hinchanu, he didn't allow us. So amarnu lai, we said to Rabbi Meir, we said, I don't understand. Divorecha yivatlu b'chayecha, I mean, your own shita is going to be bottled in your lifetime, meaning, why are you yourself not willing to paskin and to be noyeg as per your shita? Divorecha yivatlu b'chayecha, amar lanu, afo bishani aymer kach. I say you're allowed to. V'chaveirei emrim kach, my friends say you're not allowed to. So yes, my sheet is you can. Miyomai le'malani libi lavar al divri chaveirei. My mesera, what my hanhage is not to go against the words of my colleagues and my peers and my chaveirim, and therefore I'm not going to do it. Al kaponim the Gemara is medayik. Hu niu demachmer anashay. So the fact that Rabbi Meir was machmer for himself, not to go against his peers, that's one thing. Avalakuli alma shari, but for everyone else, it is mutter to do. And Rashi speaks out, two lines down, lakuli alma shari zak Rashi, and being that the star mission is going like Rabbi Meir, so therefore why are you not able to use the yain and the shemen and mix it up together and put it over the makam amila? If shita's Rabbi Meir is, you're allowed to. Okay, maybe Rabbi Meir himself is machmer for his own personal hanhaga, but to the extent that he holds the etzem its mutter and the mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, so then lacharet should be mutter. Says the Gemara, now, hasam loy by licha. Whereas, hacha by licha. A regular chayla she'ein b'sakana, so you don't need licha. What does that mean? So Rashi says, right by Hasim, he says, three lines down, she'achayim le'b'licha, le'tarfai u'la'arva yafa yafa. So a regular chayla she'ein b'sakana, you don't need to whip it. You don't need to whip it good. Whereas when it comes to a mila, you do need to whip it vigorously. And therefore, that's the problem. And therefore, when you whip it vigorously, and it really has it's like more of an ovdin d'chol type of action, so that's not something which you should be doing on Shabbos. Whereas a regular person who's unwell, who's a chayla she'ein b'sakana, so then, we will allow you to put, just to put the two together, even if because you don't need to mix the two properly together. That's what the Gemara is saying. Frankly, Gemara Kashas, if so, Achanami, Neved Veloy, Leilach, so why don't we go ahead and put the Shemen and the Yain without mixing it properly. Says the Gemara in Hanami, that's exactly what the Mishnah in essence is saying. Hainu d'ktani, mason zeh b'vnei atzmi v'zeh b'vnei atzmi. That's exactly what the Mishnah means to say when it says you do this one b'vnei atzmi and this one b'vnei atzmi. I mean, to the extent you're not able to whip it properly and mix it vigorously, so you put each one by itself, and in Hanami, that's what you do. Good. Says the Brayz divide the Tana Rabbanan ein mesanin as a chardol be masnanis shaloi. So you're not allowed to strain or sieve the mustard in its mesanis in the sieve. Now this is discussing on Yom Tov. The ein mematkin oisai begachelis, and so too you're not allowed to sweeten it with a coal, meaning you want to take a coal, and by putting the coal on the mustard, it's sweetening the mustard. You're not allowed to do that. So, Amalei Abai Rabbi Yosef, so Maishna Mihadisna Neisnin Beitza B'Misnene Shalchadol. You're allowed to take an egg, and you're allowed to put it in a strainer, and it seems to be that what they wanted to do is that they wanted the yolk to drop down, to go through the strainer, and to color, and to make the chardol that much brighter, and so on. And it says you're allowed to use this misanenes, you're allowed to use this strainer, even though some of the white is this stage, at least the Gemara thinks that some of the white is going to remain behind, and you're using this misanenes. So Maishna Mahadis Na, and we're going to see this later on, Mason Beitza B'Misanenes Shel Chagel. So Amalei said, Rabbi Yosef, no, Hasam Le Mechzi Kebayrer, Hacha Mechzi Kebayrer. One case, it appears to be like Bayrer. One case, it does not appear to be like Bayrer. And let's just take a look at the Rashi says, Eid Misanenes Chagel, four lines down, B'Yomtev. And so on. So we're saying the difference is that in the case of the beitzer with the chelmein and the chelbein, it seems to be that really you're going to get some of the white which is going to drip down also into your chardel. So perhaps the yolk is what's going to come down, but being that some of the white is also going to come down, so it's not considered to be that you have properly been mevarer. Whereas if you're using misanenes within the mustard seed itself, and then it's going to be a proper act of boirer, so then that you are not allowed to do. Now we said the ein mematkin oisai begachelas, one is not allowed to sweeten the chardel with a coal. Pregdi gemargasha, why not? Votanya mematkin oisai begachelas, you are allowed to sweeten it with a coal. What's the chilek? Says the gemar lekasha kan begachelas shal mateches, kan begachelas shal aids. It depends if you're using a coal of metal, or you're using a coal of wood. Now, what is the difference between the two? So, Rashi says, if you look at a couple of Rashi's later, a few lines later, Rashi says, "Bekechelas shel eitz." Osur the shayich ba kibui lefi sha'isa pecham. Gachela shal mateches le shayich ba kibui the ene nasa pecham. It's very interesting. Meaning, if you have boiling hot metal, and you put the mustard on this coal, on this boiling hot metal, it sweetens the mustard. And it also causes this metal to kind of go out. And to be extinguished. So that you're allowed to do, but if it's wood, and when you extinguish it, you're actually producing, you're making it into a pacham, you're making it into a coal, then it's a problem. That's very interesting. The Prima Gadam asks and says, but in both cases, your intention is not to create a coal. Meaning not only when it comes to metal, do we say that it's a malacha, shein srich lagufa, all you're doing is you're extinguishing a piece of metal, and there's no issa d'oraisa, and therefore you're allowed to do that to sweeten the mustard on Yom Tov. Even if it's made of wood, to the extent that my das is not to create a coal, so vayta tzimulach shein zrich legufa. So what really is the difference between the two? So the Prima Gadim says, there is yesh l'chalik. He says, yesh l'chalik. The Mefarshim may explain and say that the difference is that when it comes to a piece of metal, you can never really create a coal with metal. So by definition, it's always going to be asa midrabanan. It can never be asa midiraisa. Whereas if it's wood, and were I to have the intention, when I extinguish it, that I would like to create a coal, that would make it into a malacha hatzricha legufa. So being that it's at least possible with the material of wood to create and to make a malacha hatzricha legufa, hence, we're going to be that much more machmir, and we're going to ask her, putting out the wooden coal for the sake of sweetening your mustard, because in theory it could come to a malacha d'oraisa. That's the way they explain. Fry, thinking about kasha, amale abayil Rabbi Yosef. So another kasha he asked Rabbi Yosef is maishna mi bisra guma. You're telling me I'm not allowed to sweeten my mustard by putting it on a piece of boiling wood because I'm going to extinguish the wood, but I'm allowed to take meat, and I'm allowed to put it on coals, even if, again, if it's the same type of coal, maybe if it's made of wood and so on, I'm allowed to do that, even though it's going to extinguish the coal. So, maishna. So, amalei, so said Rabbi Yosef, hasam loy efshar, ha'efshar. In the case of the meat, you don't have a choice, meaning meat which is roasted today and is fresh tastes not much better than meat which was roasted previously, and therefore I have no other choice other than to take my meat and to put it on top of the coals. If it goes out, it goes out. But whereas in the case of sweetening the mustard, being that it can be done beforehand, and in no way will it compromise the taste, you should do so. We know in the beginning of Hilchas Yom Tov, there is a big discussion as to when it comes to meleches oichel nefesh, should a person ideally try and prepare the food beforehand? So everyone agrees that when it comes to let's say machshiri oichel nefesh and things like that. If you're preparing food on Yom Tov, well, let's say it like this. If it's the type of food where it's definitely going to compromise the flavor, like let's say fresh bread or day-old bread, or freshly roasted meat, or meat which was roasted yesterday, everyone agrees that you're allowed to... Everyone agrees that you're allowed to roast the meat on Yom Tov itself. Everyone agrees you're allowed to bake the bread on Yom Tov itself. Why? Because when it's fresh, it tastes better. The question is, what about if it's the same? So the Mechaber says, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to do Melechus Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. I would have tasted the same yesterday. Doesn't make a difference. It's mutter. You're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. The Rama says, and one of the Makarios is this Gemara, is that when it comes to the types of food where in no way will it compromise the flavor, the taste, the quality, you should do it Erev Yom Tov. Just like we're saying over here when it comes to sweetening the mustard, if you sweeten the mustard and you do it yesterday, or you do it today, it makes no difference to the quality and to the taste and to the flavor. So Paskins the Rama, like the Rishinim, which say in our Sugya, that from here is a Raya, that even when it comes to Meleches Eichel Nefesh, where the Torah writes, Lahedya, Ach, Asher Yeyachal, Lachol Nefesh, Hu Levade Yasa Lachem, if it's the type of food where it's going to taste exactly the same, you should do it Erev Yom Tov. If you didn't, because you didn't have time, or you forgot, you're not allowed to do it. But if you have the choice, you should do it before Yom Tov. That's one of the rayas which comes out from this sugya. Fine, so that is the difference. Good, says the Gemara, Amalei Abayi Rabbi Yosef, another kasha. Ma'ul legabin, is one allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov? Amalei Asa, not allowed to. So said Abaya, Maishna Milisha. Why is it different to Elisha? Now you're allowed to do Elisha, you're allowed to knead. And when you make gvina, when you're megabin, it's also ke'ein Elisha of sorts. Amalei Yisubiyazah said, no, Hasam Loyavshar. Whereas Hagavshar, when it comes to Elisha, i.e. like, let's say, making bread, and as we mentioned, day-old bread doesn't taste as good as fresh bread, you have no choice. So therefore, we allow you to do Elisha on Yom Tov itself. Whereas, when it comes to making cheese, make the cheese yesterday. If you make it yesterday, it's just as good. Frag the Gemara, frag the Abaya. What do you mean? V'amri nahardoi, gvina bas yema ma'alya. But didn't nahardoi say that fresh cheese is ma'alya? Implying that it's of a better quality, of a better taste than cheese which was made yesterday. To which Rabbi Yosef said, nein. Even cheese which has been made today is good. But avada cheese which was made yesterday is going to be even better. We know that certain cheeses, when they age them for months, 6 months, and even more, and that's considered to be a superior type of cheese. Fine. Now we said in the Mishnah that, remember, when they would do bris milah, so they would cut the arla, and then they would kind of pull down the skin to make sure that the atara remains megula, remains revealed. Excuse me, and then they would kind of make some type of a pouch for the aver, and it needed to be done in a way that the skin would not go and once again conceal and hide over the atara. So we said when it comes to this pouch, ein oisin la chalak, one is not allowed to create this little pouch on Shabbos, and so on. Amr Abaya, Amr Liyem. So Abaya said, Amr Liyem, hai chalak diyunuka. So the chalak of a yunuka, this pouch, of which they make for the child, so, lafne le sitra le'ile, what you should do is the hem of this the baby's bandage should be turned upwards. Why? Dilma midabek garda mine. V'asi lidei krushavcha. So it seems to be that they would have a bandage, and they wanted to make sure that the bits of cloth and the threads would not get stuck anywhere in the wound. Because when they would remove it, just like when a person takes a plaster off, you take a bandage off, I don't know if it's on a part of your body where there's hair, or at times it can be painful to take it off and to remove it. So too, says Abaya that this chalak of Yanuka, lepanye lesitra le'iloi, so you should be mekapel, you should fold it over, so it's going upwards, because otherwise, when you remove it, it could do something to the child, which could cause the child to become a krishavcha. Eime da Abaya, and here Rashi says, Eime da Abaya umnasa, it was referring to like the wet nurse of Abaya. Eime da Abaya avda kisasa labalda. So it seems to be the way Rashi explains, she made some type of a lining within the bandage. That's the way that she would do it. Again, taking great care to make sure that when things would be removed off in a way which is smooth and wouldn't do anything to damage the aver of the child. Amrabaya, hi, Yanuka. The less lay holok, if the child does not have one of these pouches, Lysi, Melissa, the E slay sifs, so they should bring some type of a rag which has a hem, the lichrache lesifse lesatoi, and they should be kurech the hem going down, the ayif leil iloi, and be mekapel the smooth side, the tzad hacholok, again klapi chutz, going away from the actual wound itself, so that if there are little bits of the bandage, that they will not go anywhere near the actual mak itself. In this way, there will not be any shailas of kroshofcha. So, basically, whatever bandage you're using, be it a proper bandage, be it some type of a makeshift bandage, one always needs to make sure that it's kind of like smooth. I mean, if this is like the top of the cloth, and this is the aver of the child, and the top of the cloth is over here, where there's little bits of string and so on, and then when you remove it, it can do something to the aver. So you want to kind of double it over so that the actual area which is going against the aver is covered, or it's lined, whatever it is. This way, it's not going to do anything to the aver of the child. Vamrabaya, Amraliyim, Hai Yinuka Dele Yedia Mefakti. So Rashi says over here, Rashi says, it's about 7 or 8 lines where the lines get wide. Meaning the anus of the baby is not clear, the place where he expels his feces. It's not so clear when the baby develops. You look at the backside of the baby and you cannot see that orifice in the baby. So what are you to do? I mean, needless to say, this can be a pikuach nefesh if the baby is not going to be able to excrete. So hayinuka delei yedia mefakte. So lishayfe mishche, you should rub oil on that area. Velukme lahade yoima, and you should place him out in the sun. Veichadizig, and when the sunlight with the oil on the baby's skin, with the area which seems to be a little bit more transparent, that is the area which is the area where the orifice is supposed to be. So, likrei besarso shasi ve'erev, you should take a barley, piece of barley, which is a little bit sharp, and you should cut lengthwise and horizontalwise in that area, which seems to be somewhat transparent. But don't use a metal keli, because that can cause swelling in the area. If you have a child who is not nursing properly, is not sucking properly, make her the karpumi. It must be that his mouth is cold, and therefore he's simply unable to nurse and to suckle. So maita kante, Lysi kasa gumrei, you should bring, let's say, a cup with coals, or a keli filled with coals, which is warm. Balin kitilei lahadi pumei, you should place it close to his mouth. Lahayim pumei umayitz, his mouth will warm up, and then he will be able to suckle. V'rabai amaliyim hayinuka deloy minashtei. So if you have a child and he's not breathing properly, so linfefei benafavasa u menashte. So you should bring some type of a fan, and you should fan the baby, and he will be able to breathe. If you have a child who has difficulty breathing, laisi silyasi deime. Very interesting. You bring like the shilya, the afterbirth, which came out from the mother, velishrake ilavei, and you put some of it, you smooth it onto the actual skin of the baby, the mavin, or cause him to breathe that much better. From Rabbi Amraliyim, hayinuka de kotin. I mean, the child seems to be very, very small, like maybe emaciated, very thin, and so on. Lysi, lesilse deime, you bring this to show you of the mother, the afterbirth of the mother, velishrike ilavei, and you should smear it on him, mikutna leulma, from the narrow side to the wider side. The Mepharshim say it means the narrow side of the actual placenta to the wider side as a siman that this child who is very narrow, who is very thin, who is very emaciated, he should develop properly, and that's what they would do. Whereas if it was the opposite, the alim, if he seems to be big and fat and bloated and so on, then the ulma lekutna, you do it the opposite way around, you smear and you rub from the wider side down to the thin side. Rabbi Amar li ayinuka desumak, if you have a child who is very red. So what's the pshat? The katili ivla beidama. So it must be that the blood is not properly absorbed in the system, and the blood is kind of like right under the skin, and were you to mal the child then and there, it would be a pikuach nefesh for the child. So what do you do? Lisrachu le ad ibla beidama. So you need to wait until the blood gets properly absorbed into the system. Valimalei, and then you can mal the child. Udiyarik, if the child is, I mean, we translate it as green, but some say it's more like yellow, like if the child is jaundiced. So what do you do? Atatil enafel beidame. So it's a sign that the blood has not fallen into the child, into the circulation properly. So again, lisrache ad enafel beidame. You need to wait until the dam falls in into the system. Belimalei, and then you can mal the child. The Tanya Amar Rebbe Nosson Bamachas Halachti LeKrachayam. Nosson said he once went to Krachayam Ubas Isha Achas Lefanai Shemala Benarishin Ameis Sheni Ameis. She mal the first two children, and they died. Shlishi Hevi Asay Lefanai. She brought the third child, Reis Ishu Odim, and I saw that the child was very red. He was ruddy. Wait until the blood has been properly absorbed in his system. She waited, and he lived. They called the child, based on my name. Ubas Isha Achas Lefane Shemala Bna Rishna Mace Shinya Mace Shlishi Avias Lefane Rizi Shehu Yark. I saw that he was yellow. Yitzatzi Ba'ivale Reisi Ba'idam Bris. I saw that he was lacking the red, the natural redness within the limbs that a child is supposed to have. So I realized that he doesn't have blood properly. Waits until the blood develops properly in the child's body and he builds up blood and so on. Vimtina loy, she waited, umalai save hayav ayukane say, nasanabavli al shmai. They called him nasanabavli al shmai. Okay, we will pick it up tomorrow, and Baz Hashem will try and catch up a little bit. Okay. Shavuot Tov, Gedvach, everyone. So, says the Mishnah, Machitzin es hakatan bein lefnei hamila, bein la'achar hamila. So, perhaps just to mention, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the following, for instance, in Shin Lamed Aleph, Dine Nila B'Shabbos, it goes through all of these halachas which we have seen. And it says in Siftes, Bizman Chachmi HaGemara Im Loi HaYorechtsin Estavlad Lefnei HaMilo La'achar HaMilo B'Yem Shlish HaMilo B'Mayim Chamen Hayu Mesukin. So it says the Mechaber that Bizman Chazal, it was considered to be a sakana if they would not do rechitza before and after. Therefore, it was necessary to write all of the mishpatim in such a case. V'ha'idna le'nagu b'rechitza klal, but says the Shulchan Aruch, nowadays we don't do this. V'dinei l'rechitz b'shabbos, im ratzu k'din rechitzas kal adam, and so on. And the Mishnah Berurah says, le'nagu dinishtanu hatvayim, the teva is different nowadays. But Bizman Hazal, it was considered, it was a sakana not to do rechitza before and after. So hence, says the Mishnah the following. Now, this statement seemingly is a stira to the first line. The first line says, you are rechitza katan, before and after. Rechitza implies rechitza skalaguf, a normal rechitza. But then the next line says, mizalfin alav biyad avalei bekli, meaning you spritz mayim on him with your hands, not with a keli, and certainly not a regular actual maisa rechitza. So that's something which needs a hezber. Blozim and azari oimer, machitzin esakotim biyam mashlishi shechali is b'shabes. You are allowed to be machitz the cotton on the third day, which is chal on the Shabbos, meaning if the child is born on a Thursday, and yom hashlishi is chal on a Shabbos, you could do so. Shneim Rav Yehiyah Mashlishi b'Yisum Ke'avim. It says when Shimon Levi went into Shechem, so it says when they went in on the third day b'Yisum Ke'avim, they were in pain. So you see that it's a sakana on yom hashlishi. We mentioned before that Rashi writes in a couple of places that it doesn't mean that yom shlishi is necessarily worse. And Rishon and Shein, it means af b'yom hashlishi. Not everyone agrees to that. Good. It says the sefer of the Mishnah. So the Reish of the Mishnah discusses the implications of doing a rechitza before the Mila and after the Mila on Shabbos. And we have the Machlekes Tana Kamma and Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The sefer of the Mishnah goes on to a different discussion. Safik v'andreginus ein mechalin alav es haShabbos. Now, the Gemara is going to get into a lengthy discussion as to what this means, Safik. If you have a Safik, I mean, if you look at Rashi two lines down over here, Rashi says, Safik again, Safik ben ches chadoshim, the Safik ben tes, dehu ke even ba'alma, the ein milasu de chashabas. Another thing which we say, Nishtanu hativim. So the first thing we said, Nishtanu hativim, was about the imperative, the medicinal imperative to do a rechitza pre and post mila, which the Machaber already says bizmanoi was already no longer relevant, no longer necessary. And the second thing is regarding a baby who was born in the eighth month. As many Gemaras, the Mishnayos, which speak about if a baby was born in the eighth, we say that the baby vadai will not live, and the baby is considered to be like an even doimem, and you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the baby, and so on. So Rashi says, Suffolk over here refers to that Suffolk. We have a doubt as to whether or not the baby was born in the eighth month or not. That's the case of Suffolk. Or androgynous. So the child displays both genitalia of male and female. In those two cases, Ein Mechalin Olav Es HaShabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Matib Androgynous. He says, no, by an androgynous, you are Mechal Shabbos, and the Mila is done by Bayoyim. Good. Fine. So the Gemara initially jumps to this Kasha, which we had from the Reisha to the Seifa. Again, what was the first line of the Mishnah? You are Reichetz, a child, before and after. The simple understanding of machitzin implies a rechitza kedarkai, put the baby in a bath. And then the next line says, mizalfin alav, you spritz with your hand, not with a keli. In fact, the Gemara of Amos Reisha, machitzin. He said in the Reisha that you're allowed to be machitz, normally. So we're going to have a machlikas amarayim pshat in the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Rabba Baravud Amit Ravayu Ketzad Tani. The structure of the Mishnah is a ketzat tani, meaning line number two is an explanation of line number one. Ketzat tani, machitzin esakotin bein lufnei mila bein la'acha mila. Ketzat, how do you do the rechitz? It's not a normal rechitz. It's unnecessary to do a regular rechitz. And remember, rechitza on Shabbos, we know that Chazal asked. So ketzat tani, machitzin esakotin bein lufnei mila bein la'acha mila. Ketzat mezalfin lo v'yad avalei bekli. How do you do the rechitza? You do it biyad, but you do not do it with a kli. So you don't do it in a bath for sure. You don't even use kelim. The only thing you're allowed to do is use your hand. That is the way Rav Yehuda and Rabba Baravua understand the Mishnah. Amar Rava, 1 second, v'hamar chitzim ketani. I mean, the implication, the connotation of the word rechitza implies rechitza in a bath, rechitza kedarkoi. Amar Rava, v'hamar chitzim ketani. El Amar Rava, no. Hachi ketani. Machitzim is the katan bein milafnei amila bein lach amila. You are rich as a child both before and after the mila. And we say the following. Meaning, how are we going to explain the two seemingly contradictory lines in the Mishnah that the first line says Rechitza, the second line says Zilof? We say the following. Bayem Arishan Kedarkei. On the first day, you do Rechitza Kedarkei. Ubayem Ashlishi Shechali is B'Shabbos. And on the third day, which falls out on a Shabbos, then Mizalfin Olav Biad Avalei B'Kli. So, on day number one, that the baby is born, which is a Thursday, you do a regular rechitza. On the third day, which falls out to be on Shabbos, then you are mizalef. A little bit strange in that. So what's the chiddush of the first line of the Mishnah? Machitza is the cotton. Bein lefnei amila, that you do a rechitza kedarkai. Well, the baby was born on a Thursday morning. Of course I can put the baby in a tub of hot water if I want. It's Thursday. You know, of course I can, it's a regular Thursday, of course I can do whatever I want. So there's no real chiddush according to that line, that because it's a weekday. But that's how we would learn it according to Rava. And I guess the first line would be kind of agav the second one. The chiddush is for the yom hashlishi. So again, halchik tani machitzin is the kodem bein lefnei amila bein la'ach amila. And we say that b'yom harishon it is kedarkei. B'yom hashlishi chali is b'shabbos mizalfin of biyad avaloi b'kli. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer machitzin es hakatan b'yom hashlishi chali is b'shabbos. No, you can do a regular rechitza. You don't have to be mizalif. You can do a regular rechitza. Shneim ravi b'yom hashlishi b'yisim kayavim. Because you see that the third day is definitely considered to be a sakana, and therefore you can do a regular rechitza. So it comes out. It comes out, again, according to Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Bar Avuah, the structure of the Mishnah is a ketzad, ketani, and therefore there's never a heter to do a regular rechitza. The only type of rechitza you can do is through zilof, as you can do a zilof. Rava says no. It says rechitza, and therefore on B'yom HaRishon you could do a rechitza kedarkei. And that would mean, I guess, going back to this point which we raised, that we would say B'yom HaRishon you could do it kedarkei even if it fell on a Shabbos. B'yom HaShlishi, which fell on a Shabbos, then we would say the only thing you could do is a zilof. That's, I guess, the only way we would learn this line, otherwise it's shver what we raised before. So on the first day you could do a rechitza, not on the third day. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, even on the third day you could do a rechitza kedarkei, because you see, arrive from the pasuk, that the third day is definitely considered to be a sakana. Tanya gavos de rava machitza nakotin bein milaf bein lefnei mila bein laach hamila. Bim or Bim Rishon Kedarkei. Bim Shlishi, Shechali is B'Shabbos, Mizalfin of Biyad. Meaning, if the first day fell on a Shabbos, you could do Rechitza. If the third day fell on a Shabbos, you could only do Zilof. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Machitzin is a cotton. Bim Shlishi, Shechali is B'Shabbos. No, even if the third day fell on a Shabbos, you can also do Rechitza Kedarkei. Vav Bishin Raya Ladavar Zeich Ladavar. I don't have perhaps a clear Raya to my Shita that on the third day you can do a proper rechitza, but I certainly have a zeich, shnei ravi b'yom hashlishi b'yisim keyavim, that you're allowed to do, you know, they're in pain on yom shlishi, and therefore surely you should be able to do a regular rechitza. So we have a raya to Rava, and this is going to be quite important to remember, that l'chayra Rava argued on Rav Yehuda and Rabba Bar Avuah, and he was more makel in his explanation of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is bringing a Tanya Kavasi the Rava. This is going to be relevant in a minute. Now the Braisa continues, and the Braisa says, Uke Shehein Mizalfin, Ein Mizalfin Levekais, Velevekaara, Velevekli, Elabiyat. When they do Zilof, which we mentioned is what the Tanakhama would require, B'yom HaShlishi, when they do zilof, don't do zilof with kalim, not with a kais, ka'ara, kli, but rather do it v'yad, and that says the Gemara, asan l'tanakama. That we'll have to say is going back to l'tanakama. Fine, good. So we have a Tanya Kavasi the Rava. Now the Gemara says, one second, my afavishi in raya l'davar is zeicha l'davar. I mean, why is it not a raya? It says, v'yibayim ashli shabiyasim kayavim. So you see that on day number 3, the city of Shechem, they were in a lot of pain. So l'char you see it's a sakana. So l'char you have a raya too, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah yeshita, that surely you should be allowed to do a regular rechitza. So my vision, right of zeich ladav mishum the godly salik bisra haya, kafin salik be bisra haya. There is a difference between how quickly a child will heal vis-a-vis a godly. So when it came to Shimon and Levi wiping out the city of Shechem, meaning when they were in a state of post-Mila, so perhaps because they were Gedolim, it would take them that much longer to heal, and therefore they were that much more vulnerable, and so on. So you're bringing a Rav, Ibiyam, and Shlish, Ibiyasim, Kayavim, maybe it's because they were Gedolim, that's why it took them that much longer to heal. Whereas maybe by Kitanim, maybe it wouldn't take so long, says Rashi about 6 lines down. Mishum the God was Salik Bisra Haya. I knew time when the Maisa Shechem lav Rai Gemurahi, Mishum the God will Ein Makesh Shibiv Sari Mala Rucha Maher. This word Haya or Hia means Maher. It doesn't heal quickly. Avokotin Nisrape Midei Sakanos Sei Maher. He will heal fairly quickly, in which case it's not necessarily a raya. The kitzur, where are we holding? We have, so far, we're trying to understand two seemingly contradictory statements. Statement number 1 is machitza and sakaltin, before and after. Statement number 2 is your mazal of yad. You just told me you're allowed to be reichetz. So we had Rav Yudin Rabba Barabu who said that the structure of the Mishnah is a ketzad tani, and the hatter is derech zilof. Whereas Rava says no. Avad you're allowed to be machitz on day number 1, and day number 3 you can only do zilof, and Rav Ben Azariah says you can even be reichetz kedarke. Says the Gemara, who the osa lekami de Rava? There was a maisa shahaya. Someone came in front of Rava and wanted the psak. What should I do with regards to washing my child on the Mila? On the day of the Mila, it was a Shabbos. So a relay kishmaite. So he paskined according to his psak. If you look at Rashi, about 8-9 lines down, 10 lines down, early kishmaite hit loy arachitza kedarke biyem rishon shechali is b'Shabbos. So on day number 1, meaning the baby was born on Shabbos, and Rava says you can wash the child kedarka, you can wash him normally, like the way I understand Pshat in the Mishnah, not like Rav Yehuda, not like Rabba Barabu. So Rava seemed to be fairly confident of his shita, and like we mentioned, Tanya Kavasa the Rava, there's a brisa like him. What happened? Ichlish Rava. Rava became weak. Rashi says Nasa Chole. Which is quite amazing. Meaning Rava is trying to understand the Mishnah. He understands the Mishnah the way he understands it. He thinks it makes sense. He's got a Tanya Kavosei like his Shita. And now he paskins based on that. And now he becomes sick. He says, it must be, I paskin incorrectly. How is one supposed to approach if not that you try and engage with the Mishnayas? With the Yudgam Amidah Shatir Nedrashus Behen, meaning how you're understanding Torah, how you're approaching the Mishnayis. And there's a riot to him, and he paskins like that, and then he attributes it to the fact that he paskins like that. So, Ichlish Rava. Omar, and he said, Ano Bahari Targimna Desabi Lamali. Meaning, why should I have gone and disagreed against this Canaan? Rav Yehud and Rabba Baravua, they said it's also to be reichet. So I guess, number 1, they were older than him, a previous generation, older than him, and therefore, even though he held that it's mistaber to learn the Mishnah his way, like we know very often, we speak about Paiskim Rishonim, and we'll say, nearly lahalacha, avalei lemaisa, X. And as we'll say, nearly lahalacha, ulemaisa. Meaning lahalacha means, the way I understand the sagich, come out like this. I'm not necessarily sure that I would like to paskin like that against whatever.
You find many times the Rishonim don't like to disagree with Rabbeinu Hananel. Shekol Dvar of Divrei Kabbalah, they say. So they don't want to pass. They want to pass in against him. So Rava says, you know what? I shouldn't have necessarily been quick to pass in against these two elders, Rabbi Yehud and Rabbi Bar Avua. Rigvei Gemara, Hamrei Ravonin, LaRava Vatani Kavas Demar. But don't you have a brisa which goes like you? In which case, you're 100% justified. In the way you paskin. Tanya was like, what was the brice again? First line, big line. Tanya was the Rava Machitza, called him Beimachem, Mila Beimachem, Mila Beimachem, Kedar Goy. Stuff mafurish, like Rava's understanding. So, you know, why, Rava, are you regretting your psak? You have a brice like you, but Tanya was the Mar, Amalei. Okay, you're right. However, Masnis and Kavasayu, Dekar. But the pashtus of the Mishnah seems more meduyic like them. Before we see it, so what's Rav in essence saying? On the one hand, we have a Mishnah which implies that you're not allowed to do a rechitza. And we have a braisa which implies that you are allowed to. So, if so, maybe they would understand it, that it's just a machlekes between the Mishnah and the braisa. If it's a machlekes in the Mishnah and the Braisa, surely one has to go like the Mishnah and not like the Braisa. Therefore, I, in essence, am passing like the Braisa and not like the Mishnah. That was wrong. Now, what does he mean that the Mishnah is more meduyic like them? He might. Midikam, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Imar Machitzin, Esakotan, Biyam, Ashlishi, Shechalis, B'Shabbos. And the fact that he says you're allowed to be marchitz on day number 3, if the only thing the Tanakama mattered up until now is mezalfin, you say mezalfin, I say marchitzin. Marchitzin, eli yamas Tanakama marchitzin, biyam arishin ka'amar. Umizalfin, miyamashlishi. Tanagama says, no, I agree, on day number 1, you're allowed to be machitz. But when it gets to day number 3, you're only allowed to be mizalef. So then, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah should have said, no, even on day number 3, I mean, you agree on day number 1, but you don't say on day number 3, even on day number 3. Hi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm a machitzin, af machitzin mi boilei. He should have used the Lashon of Af, which implies, just like you yourself agree on day number 1, Machitzin, but not on day number 3. No, even on day number 3. That's what he should have said. So therefore, Rava thought, you know what, even though there's a brace like me, but the pashtus of the Mishnah reads better with their pshat, and therefore that's the reason why perhaps they shouldn't have been so hasty to pass them against them. Tiyas Rav Dimi Amar Rav Elazar, Halacha K'Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that is a heta of rechitza, kedar kan day number 3, and like we mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, nowadays we don't do this because we say nishtanu ativim. Good. Hebu b'bam b'marava, they had a shayla in Eretz Yisrael. The shayla is as follows. Hachotzes kol gufay oy hachotzes milam. Meaning we speak about in the Mishnah that there is a heter of rechitza. Are we discussing being rechitz the entire body, or is it specifically just the makam amila? So amalehu ahu mirabban and Rabbi Yaakov Shmei mistabra chatzis kol gufay. It makes sense to say the rechitza is for kalaguf. These are gedayt chatzis mila. If it's just a local wash for the area which is going to have a operation of sorts, if that's really the only het of the Mishnah. So what really is the chiddush? Mi gara mi chamin al gabi mako? Would it be any different than chamin al gabi mako? Meaning we allow hot water to go on the mako, and the way Rashi learns it, Rashi kind of in the middle of the page of Rashi's, Rashi says, and here the Rabbanan answer. Why would they answer? I mean, surely if it's just locally on the Makam Amila, surely it would be no different than Chamin al Gabi Amaka, which they permit. And here, they don't permit it, so it must be that the Din and the Mishnah is Rechitzas Kalaguf. Again, mi garni chamin al gabi maka, the Amar Rav, ein meinin chamin v'shemim al gabi maka. B'Shabbos, you're allowed to have hot water and oil on the maka b'Shabbos, and that's not included in the gzera of shchikas samamanim. So, alamai, it must be that the dion, the discussion in the Mishnah is Rechitza's kol agof, which goes into the whole shaila of Rechitza, Mishabas, which usually you're not allowed to do, and that must be the din. Otherwise, clearly it would be mutter. Maskev lo Reb Yosef, alei shani lach, bein cham en shuchma b'shabas, lacham en shuchma b'erev shabas. Not so fast. Why do you say what you're saying? After all, over here, by Mila, we're speaking about the hot water which was heated up on Shabbos itself. So maybe the reason why we don't allow it to be in my shlishi is because it's not considered to be a sakana. So we're not going to necessarily allow you to heat up water on Shabbos for even for the local area of the meal itself, because we're discussing heating up the water on Shabbos. So, Enoch and Ami, we all agree you're allowed to apply chamin to a makah, but that's chamin shehuchmu mi'erev Shabbos. Here the din is about chamin shehuchmu b'Shabbos itself, therefore there's a big difference, in which case you don't necessarily have a raya from the fact that that they asked, the Rabban asked to be a mashlisha. The reason why they asked is because we're discussing chamin shehuchmu b'Shabbos. Who says that's the case? How do you know that the din over here is with chamin shochma b'Shabbos? Maybe taka doma b'chamin shochma b'erev Shabbos pligi. Maybe that's where we're also discussing where the water was heated up on a Friday. So I'm Rabbi Ano boy ledishani le. I wanted to answer the kodim b'shani of Rabbi Yosef, but my Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, answered before me, the reason why it's not mistamber to say that is because the lashon of the Mishnah is mibnei shesakana hulaya. Or the lashon of the Braisa is mibnei shesakana hulaya. So being that it says mibnei shesakana hulaya, it must be that the heter is a heter even of Mayim Shehuchmu B'Shabbos. If you look at Rashi, the Kodam Rabbi Yosef Ishanya Lei, about 15 lines from the bottom, Rashi says, the Vade Masniz in Chaman Shehuchmu B'Shabbos Nami Shari, B'Yom HaRishayim, for sure, you're allowed to heat up water on the first couple of days, or Ula Rabbi Elazar Ben Azaria, B'Shlishi, even on the third day, so we must be discussing chamin shehuchmu on Shabbos itself. Yeah, good. If manami he also rav and amr b'yavayu amr b'lazer v'amila amr b'yavayu amr b'yechen halacha ke rav b'lazer ben Azaria bein chamin shehuchmu b'Shabbos bein shechamin shehuchmu me'erev Shabbos bein achatzas koguf bein achatzas mila mevnei shesakana. He lied. So we're passing like Rav Elazar ben Azaria, and this includes even Chamin Shehuchmu on Shabbos itself. Let's read it again. Shulchan Aruch, we said, Bizman Chachme Agamar Im Lo Yohayu Reichtzim Es Havlad. Not just the actual Makamil itself, the Vlad. Lefnei Amila Ula Ach Amila Beim Ashlish Amila B'Mayim Chamin Hayu Mesukan. The Vikach Miskiu Lichtei Mishpata Kishrali is B'Shabbos, V'idnu we said Leinaga B'chitza Klau, and so on. Good, fine. So that's what comes out Legabe that din. Excellent, good. Says Gemara by the Gufa Amar Rav. So Rav said before, Ein Meinin Chamin V'Shem Mial Gabi Maka B'Shabbos. If a person has a Maka, they are allowed to apply hot water and Shemin locally to the Maka. In other words, this is not included in Shrika Samamonin. Shmuel Omar Nesin Chutz Lamaka V'Sheisus V'Yerid Lamaka. You cannot apply it actually on the market itself, seeming that would be Nichol in Shrika Samamonin. That would be included in the Gezer of Rafur V'Shabbos. And therefore, you apply the hot water in an area outside the Mako. And then it drips down to the maka, and that would be okay because you're not actually giving any type of medicinal treatment directly. It's rather indirect. Says you're not allowed to put hot water, oil or hot water on a cloth to place it on the makkah on Shabbos. If you look at Rashi, about 15 lines at the bottom, Rashi says, and we think the reason why you're not allowed to do this is like Shmuel. The timing is Shom Hachihu, because that was Shmuel's reason that this is included in the Gzeira of Shchikas Amamonim. Like we've seen several times, as long as it doesn't overtly, conspicuously seem to be an act of refuah, you can do it. So it seems to be a raya to Shmuel, the Lake Arav. Says the Gemara, b'chlal not a raya. The reason why you can't do it is because you're going to wet the cloth, and the concern is when you put the cloth on the makkah, you're going to give some type of a warm compress, and you're going to squeeze it, and there's going to be a problem of schita. That's why you can't do it. But legabe, the actual shaila of refuah b'shabbos shchikas amamonim, applying hot water, le'ela mekubi, that's mutter. Toshma. Same raya against Rav, raya to Shmuel. Again, that's because of schita. Tanya gavas to Shmuel. Ein noisin chamin v'shemen al gabe mako b'shabbos. Now we're noisin chutz l'mako v'shesus v'yerd l'mako. So very interesting. We have a tanya gavas to Shmuel. Usually the din is Rav v'Shmuel. When it comes to Isurim, we pass him like Rav and Isur, and like Shmuel and Mammon, in which case we would pass him like Rav all the year that it's Mutter. But we have a Tanya Kavasi de Shmuel, and that's why the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch pass him like Shmuel. Tanya Rabbanan Eisnin al Gavi Maka Meich Yavish. You can put a dry piece of cloth, Usfeig, some type of a sponge yavish, avalai gemi yavish, avalai ksisin yavish, but not gemi, some type of a reed, and not ksisin, which is also like a dry piece of cloth. Says the Gemara, kasha ksisin, a ksisin. Where is metastira? You said at the beginning, nesnon gabi maka mech yavish, which is like just a dry piece of cloth, and then we said, but not ksisin, which is not also a dry piece of cloth. So we said, like kasha, habachadidi habatiki. And it depends if it's old or if it's new. Because Rashi says, Chadati Chadashim Shloi Hoyo Gabi Makam Oilam Masu. They are therapeutic. not sure exactly how that works, but that is considered to be therapeutic. Atiki Lay Masu. But if it's older ones, then it no longer helps. And Rabbi Shmam, you know, Hanik Sisin Masu. It's a raya that these new ones are something which heal